Phil Kirpin from American Commitment back with us to talk now about the agenda of the second Trump administration. Phil, good to have you here.
My pleasure, Loman.
Donald Trump, of course, has been very busy, actually had his cabinet filled before Thanksgiving, which is probably somewhat of a modern record. I want to talk a little bit about what you see as the major issues, the major policy changes that we can expect from the second Trump administration.
Well, I think that there are three kind of main ingredients. Fourth, if you want to add monetary policy, but that's tougher because it's sort of indirect through the Fed. But there are three main ingredients of economic policy, and I think we're going to see considerable efforts in all of them. The first ingredient is tax policy, and of course, we've got a massive automatic tax hike scheduled at the end of calendar year 2025, and so I think we're going to see very early action in Congress, you know, with a big push from the administration to get the Trump tax cuts extended and possibly to take action on some of the other campaign promises like no tax on tips and no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. So that's going to be a little bit of a puzzle putting that together and using the budget process and reconciliation and Senate rules to avoid filibuster. So that's going to be a major effort, I expect, relatively early in the year. The second ingredient is probably actually equally, if not more important to taxes, though it gets less attention. And that's deregulation. And they were very successful on this in the first Trump term. In fact, it was the first presidency in recent memory that was net deregulatory. Regulatory burdens overall actually fell during the first Trump term. Under Biden, we've been dealing with a hyper-regulatory environment. New regulations under Biden have imposed lifetime costs of about $50,000 per U.S. household, which is a mind-boggling number, far higher even than Obama, who was the previous record holder. And so I think we're going to see all of the individual agencies rolling things back. We're also going to see a major effort out of OMB and the White House to undo regulations. And some of them that are in what's called the review window will see votes in Congress to permanently overturn regulations if they came towards the end of this year and are subject to that option. And of course, the third area, which is the one that they really didn't accomplish anything on, honestly, in the first Trump term, and that's part of why we just had the huge inflationary episode that we dealt with is government spending. And that's the hardest one. But I'm much more optimistic on that than I have been in the past with Elon and Vivek and their Doge Commission. But I think we're going to see some major proposals to restrain government spending. The challenge, of course, will be getting those through Congress, although they may pick a fight with Congress and try to bring back the impoundment concept, which is, you know, pre-Nixon presidents did not always spend all the money that Congress had appropriated. They would impound the funds they thought didn't need to be spent, and Congress prohibited that practice, and it's an open question whether that's constitutional. And so Russ Vought, who's the nominee for Office of Management and Budget, has suggested that they may take on that fight and see if the courts see what the court's current thinking is on that. And so we may see even more aggressive action on spending than can be done through Congress. But those are the major ingredients. The fourth, as I mentioned, is monetary policy. And there the big question is, will Trump try to fire Jay Powell? Or will he leave well enough alone and let him serve two more years until his term is up and then put someone new in 2026? There is some dispute among legal scholars as to whether the president has the power to fire the Fed chairman. Powell himself says he'll refuse to go, which means he will litigate it if the president does try to fire him. I tend to think the president can fire the Fed chief. Otherwise, he's essentially the king and has no accountability to anyone and is insulated from voters. And so that's potentially something to watch for, whether we get that kind of confrontation.
Another area that was central to the Trump campaign, one of the top two issues in almost every poll that was taken, border security. The president-elect already is threatening to slap tariffs on Mexico and even Canada. Do you see that as being a central part of what the Trump administration is going to try and accomplish over its first couple of months?
Oh, yeah, that's another huge area. I kind of think of the immigration issue and the border crisis as kind of a separate bucket from the economic issues, although obviously it has substantial economic dimensions to it as well. I do think that the president's going to be very aggressive, particularly on removal of criminal illegal aliens. I think that's going to be the main focus of Tom Homan, as the borders are, and we're going to see a substantial increase in removal by the hundreds of thousands, potentially. And once they complete removals of the criminal illegal aliens, I think they may move to non-criminal illegal aliens who are in various threat categories. But I think they're really going to focus on kind of the security aspects of that issue more so than the economic aspects, because we still have worker shortages in a lot of categories. And if we can get the incentives right to get Americans back into the workforce who are outside of it, that's ideal, and we certainly hope that'll happen. And actually, the fentanyl policies that were announced by the president may help with that, because we've got a lot of prime-age males who are on drugs, frankly, and that's why they're not in the workforce. And if we get super tough with the countries that are producing the fentanyl and basically say, we're going to destroy you economically with these tariffs if you don't stem the flow, you know, that may be effective. We'll have to say, I mean, the thing about Trump on tariffs, and I'm a big free trade guy, I'm not a tariff guy, but the difference between Trump and someone like Biden is Trump puts the tariffs on and uses it as leverage to accomplish other policy objectives, in this case, to try to stem the flow of fentanyl and the flow of illegal migrants across the border. He did this in the first Trump term on the Remain in Mexico policy on migration. He threatened a tariff, and then Mexico agreed to it, and that had a substantial impact. He did the same thing with Europe. He used a threat of tariff to get them to increase defense spending to their NATO obligations. And so if it's a threat of a tariff and you end up using it successfully to accomplish a good policy objective and you don't actually have to impose it, or you impose it only briefly and then lift it, then you might be using a tool that I dislike to accomplish something that's a positive. Biden, by contrast, kept all the Trump tariffs on and didn't use them to negotiate for anything. He just kept them on. And so we have to pay the cost of it with no upside. And so I'm sort of all else equal, I'm a free trade guy. I'm against tariffs. But if the president can actually pull off using them to accomplish, you know, what he announced last week, to, you know, use them as leverage to stop fentanyl from coming into the country, I mean, that would be an incredible victory. And we've got obscene numbers of fentanyl deaths in recent years, much higher levels than most people consider tolerable.
We certainly have. Well, Trump, with tariffs and other things, is playing 3D chess here, and we'll see how all this unfolds. We certainly will be keeping track of it over the coming months with Phil Kirpin. Phil is president of American Commitment. Phil, tell us a little bit about American Commitment.
Yeah, we're a national free market advocacy group. We focus really on the fiscal, economic, and regulatory issues. And so going into next year, we're going to be very focused on all of the things that we've been talking about. And we try to find opportunities where writing more letters into the House or the Senate or into regulatory agencies might combat what the left does and help tip some of the outcomes in a more free market direction. So everything's on our website, AmericanCommitment.org. And I would encourage people to sign up if you want to get those action alerts.
Phil Kirpin of American Commitment. Phil, thank you for being back with us. Appreciate it.
All right, Loman, have a good one.